the members of the early church awaited the coming of the Spirit and did that through praying. The same Spirit that they awaited is with us now. Our prayer at this time is that we become aware of the presence of that Spirit, the Spirit of the living God in our lives. And so very much depends upon the image of God that we have. Our image of God determines how we pray. God is not far away up in the sky, but the Spirit dwells within us. It means that our prayer then becomes a relationship more than some kind of discipline. According to St. Paul, praying isn't even something that we do, but it is something that the Spirit of God does in us. It attracts us. It seems that what we do is mainly provide a place and a time where prayer can be possible. And it is really not that possible as long as we are led around by some kind of constant busyness that does not allow any time to reflect. Now, to get away from this, to provide a place for prayer, sometimes does provide a kind of wrenching in our lives. And to avoid that, we discover all kinds of excuses. Everything else seems to be more attractive. But taking time to pray is necessary, the most necessary thing of all. And in reality, no one is really too busy to do that. If you look back over your life, you discover that we all learned during the most busy times of our life that so much of our energy was drained away in worrying about the work that we had to do. A lot of the feeling that we have of busy, of being busy, is that anxious worry that goes with it. We need to become, once in a while, calm. Prayer is necessary because everything else is an illusion. We human beings are completely dependent upon God. Every single second of our lives, we are completely contingent upon the fact that the living God wills us to be with every single heartbeat. And yet, how often we act as if we were autonomous, as if we could, if we chose to, bring ourselves into the presence of God, as if he were not there already all the time. Many people think of praying as something they do as gracious, something that is good for them to do. But in fact, praying is really not much more than a recollection of the way things are. When people try to distract themselves and avoid prayer, they are fleeing away from reality. They are fleeing from themselves. What is so interesting is that when we do begin to spend some time alone, undistracted, just sitting, it makes us nervous at first. We are kind of anxious, waiting for that time to end. Because what we are beginning to feel then is our own emptiness. But it's so important to go through that brief experience, because that emptiness is closer to the truth of who we really are than the face, the image that we prefer to present to others. That feeling of emptiness is truer than the image that we even have of ourselves. That feeling of emptiness is the very beginning of understanding, to know that indeed we are empty and needy. So much of our activity in life is an evasion, a running away, a denial of that fact. But healing of that emptiness begins when women and men begin to face up to that fact in prayer and realize that they're not alone, they need not be empty. And we're all in different stages of going through a transition between emptiness and not being empty in our lives. As one butterfly said to the other butterfly, "Now that we're butterflies, how come we still think like caterpillars?" We're all in transition. We're all Easter people, filled with the risen life of Christ, but we're still trying to become aware of that mystery. So much of what we call prayer is simply a form of depth listening. And yet listening of any kind takes quiet and time. Our society is so frenetic. The music and the radio is reflective of that. So many people no longer know how to listen, to be still any time during the day and listen. It is the Lord speaking to us. Listening in depth is listening to that voice of the Lord deep down within us, that voice that is beyond words and language, that voice of the Lord that has the remarkable ability to penetrate the barriers of noise with which we surround the very core of our being. It's the voice of the Lord that sounds from the deep abyss of our heart, in which our lives are rooted. That voice of the Lord, that mystery that's always there, that word comes to us, aches to embrace our lives, and continually speak a word to us that says, "You are made worthy by my knowing you. I live in you. I know you. You are made whole again by my loving you. You already anticipate eternity by my embracing you now. How important it is for our humanity that we develop the ability to listen to that voice that is always there, that resounds in our lives, and yet we make excuses. I'm too timid, we say. I have nothing to offer." Imagine a person saying that. Imagine a person thinking that he is useless, that God made useless people who have nothing to offer. They say, "If only God would just once appear to me and tell me what to do, talk to me, then I would do it." And yet, that is the most common way that we blind and deafen ourselves to what God is doing and saying all of the time, in the most ordinary events that go on around us. God does not appear in thunder and lightning, but the appearance of the Lord is always very subtle and quiet. God is here right now, deep in our hearts. Don't be like the overwhelming number of people today who allow the noise and the activity of their lives to continually silence that voice that is within them, and yet they will go rushing around looking for signs that are supposed to come to them from without. Try to listen to the signs. Take the time to listen and discover the presence of God that is so near. Any welcome awareness of the presence of God is always a prayer. There need not be any words spoken at all. That's what happened to the disciples when they withdrew to the upper room. God had been with them all the while, but now they went aside to understand the impact of it. Praying is essential to make our life human. Otherwise, idolatry sets in. We make ultimate what is not ultimate. And that kind of idolatry is the affliction of people who become deaf to the living God. Something else has taken place. Nowadays, rather than abandon the quest for growing in the Spirit, rather than go on living in constant guilt, because sometimes it is difficult to set time aside for any kind of formal prayer, it's really better to integrate our spiritual life that is more spontaneous and responds to the actual rhythm of our life. You might even call it situational spirituality. To find meaning and depth in the real life situations that already make up our existence. Any day you can imagine how we are induced to pray by a variety of little ordinary daily events. When we become aware of increased tension, it could prompt taking just a few moments to breathe deeply in a kind of relaxing meditation. Driving the automobile today, which is here to stay, provides so many opportunities for prayerful meditation about the activities of the day. Unexpectedly running into an old friend creates a prayer of gratitude. Doing the ordinary routine household chores can always provide a backdrop of prayer. When we feel depressed, that can produce a prayer of strength. So many busy people simply cannot afford the luxury of 20 or even 15 minutes of formal prayer. But they have so many experiences during the day that can generate those brief moments when consciousness of the presence of the Lord is heightened. Consciousness is heightened. And the trick then is to sharpen our awareness and to multiply the number of those situations that simply function as catalysts or triggers for prayer. And then those brief moments lead to extended periods of meditation, awareness. But for the most part, they should become prized as valuable moments in themselves with the power to illuminate the rest of our ordinary daily routine. Anytime, anywhere, we can learn to be still and to listen. It is the voice of the Lord speaking to us from within our heart. Thank you.